Hey, that sounds good. Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling a little bit. Get everybody up and going. There's always so much energy and excitement when we have the Urban Farmer in.
Well, thank you.
You come with your A game every time.
Well, it's so much fun. I'm doing what I love, you know? Sharing with people and feeding people and inspiring people. Here's what I do. I hold up this whole notion of you can grow your own food kind of in my hand like this. And I say, you know what? This is so simple. You can do it too. And it just lights people up.
And a visionary from back, your goal years ago was to inspire enough people to grow that Phoenix wouldn't be so subjective to
the whims of our food system, let's call it. Yeah, actually, my goal, I'm 56 years old now, and my goal between now and when I die is to create Phoenix into a food secure space where we're actually growing most of our own food. I don't know if I'll ever make it there, but what the heck? I mean, you know, it gets me up in the morning.
You gotta have a aim high.
Yeah, there you go.
Gotta have a big goal.
There you go.
So, real quick, before we get back to what goes in the soil, a couple questions. You had mentioned not drip, and that for years, and when I started to break into the trades, that everything was going drip. Everything was going drip. It was the zero escaping, the water conscious. So if we're not doing drip on our fruit trees, what systems are we using?
Yeah, here's the thing about drip. Generally, it's one emitter that puts out a gallon per hour. So we're looking for other solutions in the drip arena. And I actually have, a friend of mine planted 2,200 coffee plants in San Diego in an orchard. And so they're raising coffee there. And he showed me this new contraption. It is drip tape with drip emitters built into it, but it's a lot of them. So really, if you have drip irrigation, what we need to do is we need to add many more emitters so that you can put a whole lot of water on your tree all at once. Your tree doesn't need a half hour's worth of water three times a week. It needs 4 hours worth of water once every 2 weeks during the warm season, especially if you put the 6-6 rule in place and put 6 inches of woody mulch and a 6-foot basin around your tree, that's going to absorb and hold the water. But we need to deep water our trees, and single drip emitters don't do that. So if you are on drip, you can come down to the nursery today and see me, and I'll have some of those available. I'll show them to you. And we can talk through it. So that's one way. The other way is if you're on flood water, you know, there's 30,000 acres or so of flood irrigated water land here in Phoenix, Arizona. I happen to be on one of them. If you have a flood irrigated yard, you know, the watering's perfect for it. Then the other thing is you actually put a bubbler in your basin around your tree so that it's a regular sprinkler system, but rather than spray sprinklers on there, you have a bubbler. So you let the bubbler go off once every 2 weeks and fill the basin. So those are the three ways that are really most efficient.
And we had another text question we're not going to answer, but they want to know what your varieties of peach trees were. But for your progressive gardening, or progressive pruning is what...
Progressive ripening.
Progressive ripening.
Yeah.
That's what the podcast page is for. You can go there, check it. It'll be in writing. You can have links.
Oh, fantastic.
We've got so many talking points. We've got to keep this moving so we get all of our great content.
Yeah, I write a book every time I come here.
I know.
So what to put in the hole?
60% organics. I got
60%
that.
60% organic matter. You can get Farmer Greg's planting mix down at our nursery. The other things you want to mix in the wheelbarrow, besides the 40% native soil and 60% organic matter, is an ounce of mycorrhiza. Mycorrhiza brings life. It's the fungal mix to your space, and we're actually adding some. So it's called mycorrhiza. And azomite is a rock dust mineral. It brings 70 different kinds of minerals that are bioavailable for the plants to take up into the space. And so you're mixing a pound of that in the wheelbarrow and then a pound of gardener's gold, or what we also like to call worm castings. So you mix all of that in the wheelbarrow and plant your tree on a hill in the middle of your basin. So remember, you're making a 6-foot basin around it. You dig a 18-inch wide and about 16-inch deep hole in the middle. You plant your tree in the middle with all that soil you just mixed in the wheelbarrow, and then add your 6 inches of woody mulch. Water as directed in my manifesto that we hand out to everybody that buys fruit trees, and you're good to go.
And that 16 inches, if you are planting something that's come from, you know, you can either get it bare root,
Yes.
Or planted in
potted.
A pot.
Exactly.
If it's a lot of those pots aren't 16 inches deep, you don't want to plant your tree lower than the ground level.
Correct.
So you may not need to go 16 inches deep.
Well, I always like to go a little deeper to loosen up the soil so the roots can go deep.
Backfill it so it's sitting
up. And backfill it, exactly. Exactly. I tell people to sit it up on a mound in the middle of, in the middle of your planting area.
And tamp down the backfill.
Yeah.
Give it a good pat so the tree doesn't sink as
exactly.
it settles.
Exactly. You don't want the tree settled. Here's the other really important thing, again, covered in my manifesto that we hand out, and that is planting depth. If you plant the graft point below the ground level, you're going to kill the tree. So anybody that's interested in that, come on down to the nursery today and I'll show it to you. So that's my rules around planting your trees. 6 foot of woody mulch in a basin or 6 inches deep, and 60% planting mix, 40% native soil, mycorrhiza, azomite, and worm castings.
And does all that come, is that what's in Greg's?
So, planting mix.
Planting mix.
It is not.
Okay.
But there's great stuff in Greg's planting mix.
That's the 60% organic.
Exactly.
And then you add the mycorrhizum, azomite, and worm castings to that.
Right. And we have all that for you.
Gotcha.
When you come down and get your trees and come down and talk to us, we have all that for you.
But that's not something you would want to mix into the Greg's.
You mean something that I would want to mix into the Greg's mix? No, that would make it a little too pricey.
Yeah. Well, and would it? Well, never mind. We'll keep going.
Yeah.
So the Greg's mix comes, and then you've got the other things to add to it.
Exactly. So what to plant next?
What to plant and why?
Yeah, exactly. So, I get all kinds of questions like, oh my gosh, can I get an avocado? You can. It's not Greg proven yet. So I have a Greg proven guarantee that I give with my trees. And that's if it comes with the Greg approved label, it means that I have planted and eaten off of these trees, which is really important. And we're going to get to the three things here in a little while in the next segment about that. So they're Greg approved. So avocados, we're still experimenting with them. Everybody wants to grow an avocado. I want to grow an avocado. They're very susceptible to the heat. The heat will just, do them in. So avocados we stay away from. But what can we really grow? Did you know that we can grow apples here?
Anna
and Dorset Golden. Exactly. Those are the two most incredible apples here, Anna and Dorset Golden. Apricots, Katie and Goldkissed. Amazing apricots. Peaches. There's about a dozen different peaches. My three favorite were the Goldkissed, that's the apricot, sorry. The Desert Gold, the Tropic Snow, and the Mid Pride. Then there's plums. There's a bunch of different plums you can grow here. Berries do really well here. Like caning berries, if you give them afternoon shade. Again, with the 6'6 basin around them. And grapes. Grapes will do really great. The thing about grapes is that they don't get really big. A large grape is the size of a small marble here. So you just have to know that going in. If you're going to grow grapes, the heat really gets to them.
Don't expect
table grapes that are, the size of a huge marble. And one of my new favorites in the past few years is the Pakistani mulberry. Now, I get this a lot. People say, oh my gosh, we can't plant mulberries here in the desert. Well, you can if they're female. And interestingly enough, it makes fruit whether there's a male around or not. And the Pakistani mulberry is a large tree, and it puts off mulberries that are 2 to 3 inches long and absolutely amazing tasting. In fact, most of the mulberries that come off of our tree at the Urban Farm never make it into the house. Just our purple lips make it into the house, right? So those are some of my favorites. We're going to talk citrus next month. But those are some of my favorites.
You got to supply that nutrient, resupply your body while you're out there working.
Exactly.
Berries keep you going.
Exactly. And then I have a list of no-goes.
No-goes.
Absolutely no-goes. So cherries are on the list of no-goes. They come on the wrong rootstock. The rootstocks haven't been proven here. We're going to talk about that in a little while. And there's no such thing as low-chill cherries. Two issues. Now, could there be an anomaly for cherries? Or nectarines or pears, yes. Those are the other two that I say absolutely no on. Nectarines are a no-go. They're highly susceptible to something called a thrip. It's a bug that comes out of the soil, and it makes these gnarly little fruits. Just plant a peach. The thrips don't bother the peaches. And then pears. Pears get knocked out over and over and over again with something called fire blight. It looks like somebody took a torch to the peach or the pear tree and just torched it. And they don't produce all that well.
I had that on a couple of my Anna apples when they were first planted young.
Yeah. The nice thing about apples is they're fairly resistant to that. The pears are not.
Get them.
Yeah, that's going to take out the pears. So, you know, buy those in the grocery store, if you really want them. I've tried many varieties. In fact, part of my project is every year I try new trees. In fact, this year we've got a new peach that we're trying, and we've got a new cherry that we're trying, a pit cherry. So I'm always trying it. But here's the thing. With the trees that you get from me, I've experimented. I know what works, and this is why we're bringing in what we're bringing in.
Now, a lot of these trees that are coming in, they're coming in from Dave Wilson's Nursery.
Dave Wilson Nursery and Ellie Cook.
Great propagators. Each one of those has hundreds of years of experience on staff that do everything we're talking about here. They're constantly experimenting, testing, grafting, propagating. They are just as passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
I think if I looked back, it's been a while since I've checked my urban orchard map, and I've got, the little tag that comes on it. I know what nursery it came from. I know what.
Oh, nice.
What local nursery I bought it from, and then what nursery grafted it. Over half of them are Dave Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been doing it a very long time. I went and visited them, I'm going to say about 3 years ago, for their fruit tasting. It was in August or something, like 3 years ago. And they have 3,500 acres and over 20 million fruit trees in their landscape. It was mind-boggling to stand back and watch the fields and fields and fields of, thousands of different kinds of trees. It was amazing, absolutely amazing.
That sounds like a trip. And you mentioned Ellie Cook.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's where my pecans came from.
And yes.
They say 7 to 10 years on pecans. I'm in year 4. Now, I didn't get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I got 1.
Oh, nice.
This year, probably 30.
Oh, that's how they happen. In fact, that's a great question. I get this question a lot. How long before I get fruit? And I tell people 3 years. Could it be sooner than 3 years? Yes, but it can also be 3 years or a little bit longer. So if I tell people it's going to take, 2 years and they don't get fruit, they're going to be mad at me. So I always go a little bit longer. Usually what happens is in year 2, you'll get 1 or 2.
Gives you enough to hold on for next year.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
In
it's
year
happen.
3, you'll get maybe 20 or 30. And this is on the apples, the peaches, the plums, even the citrus. And in year 4, you're going to get more like, 40 or 50 or 75 or 100. And it kind of goes like that.
And from there, you're into produce you can't keep up with. This is when you find out you had neighbors that were your best friends you never knew about.
Exactly.
People at the office can't wait for you to come in the morning.
Right. Romy's excited when I arrive with a bag of citrus.
Never complain about that. What was that pink one again?
The Cara Naval. It's one of my favorites.
That's a good one. All right, final segment with urban farmer Greg Peterson coming up. We're going to be talking 3 key factors to fruit tree growing success.